already started. Cool. Yeah. Yeah, the red lights are on.
We don't fuck around here.
No doubt, no doubt.
I fucking hate that I did the, who am I, Ari Gold?
The fucking Trump, you know?
Yeah, does he do that? Oh yeah, he does do that.
Yeah.
I like how Bill Clinton's thing was this. It's like almost a thumbs up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like he has a button.
Yeah,
it's
he's
like,
pressing a button. It's a Democratic button. Allows him to cheat on his wife.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Why am I slamming?
We're good.
That was wild.
Reasons, right?
Yeah, coming in hot.
Coming in hot. He's lost a lot of weight. Looks great.
No, actually kind of scary too.
Yeah, he does look kind of scary. Yeah. I insulted him again. Yeah. What am I doing?
Is he's vegan now?
Is he?
I thought that's why he was so skinny, but maybe not.
Yeah, maybe.
I feel like I read that. I was like, that's interesting. It's for a president. I don't know.
And I hate to say this because he was my favorite character on SNL, but he looks methy.
He does. Yeah. It looks like some of the soul has been sucked out of him a little bit. You know?
Yeah. And Donald Trump seems methy, but he doesn't look methy. In fact, he looks the opposite of methy.
Yeah. But once in a while you get one of those like healthy looking methods, you know?
Yeah. Like good athletes.
Usually fat, you know?
Yeah.
Trump's fat.
Yeah.
I'm going to agree with you.
Yeah.
He's like I'll say he's fat.
It's true.
What if he hears this?
Arnor.
He would be the Arnor. Ola comes in and just,
I heard that spread everywhere and I love it. It's the best.
It's my favorite.
It's so good. Fucking Darcy, man.
Right?
Yeah. I have to be careful with it at work because we do have some Australian guests and I don't think they'd be happy about it.
It's funny. Every Australian friend I have loves hearing people do Australian accents.
Oh, really? Okay, cool. So I shouldn't be too worried about it.
Yeah. Well, maybe. I don't know. It's funny how Australian people will be like, Australians are the worst, so annoying. And then every Australian person I meet, I love.
Yeah.
Like Kirby
True.
Is mm-hmm. great.
Yeah.
Lauren is amazing. Yeah. And that's it. That's all I know. So that's my frame of reference.
I mean, like the last time when we had Kirby on the podcast, I like had to hold back so hard because I was right in the midst of like the Arnor.
It's an addiction.
So in your head, you're like, Arnor.
Oh, God.
That's so funny.
Little known fact about Alexi, her internal monologue is Australian.
Yeah.
Where did I had a she really hard from? Time getting that riff out. That was difficult.
We'll just struggle.
Fix that in post.
Just audio, put audio recording, re-record it.
Yeah, you know? It doesn't match my lips at all. I feel like at this point I could do that because I've been doing these comedy specials and I've had to do that.
Oh, have you? Yeah, true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that makes sense.
Like one of them was done with a lav mic and it kept rubbing against his shirt. So he had to come over to my place and I had to put the fucking lav mic on him again and then fix parts. And
oh, shit.
Oh, my God.
It's complicated.
A lot of work.
Oh. It's very complicated. A lot
of work. No one really knows how much work the things we do are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's true.
Nobody gets it.
I think that was a big thing, a big barrier with me in music was like, oh, I actually don't know so much that like, I don't know if I can do it. You know?
Like you want to do music and then felt like it was complicated.
Yeah. Especially with like the whole just like recording and like mastering and like all that kind of stuff. Like
usually it's one person per one of those jobs, but it is a lot more, there's a lot more steps to it, I think, than people think.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
When I first started out, I didn't realize everybody, like that was a like one job for every person. I like did all of the things and
exactly.
I'm like, this is.
Yeah. That's kind of what I do too.
Yeah.
But it's like you learn it. Like I'm just so impatient with people. I just learned to do all the stuff myself.
Yeah.
So I became a music producer. I didn't want to wait for like flaky bandmates and stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
What's your journey with music?
Well, I just played it as like a kid, kind of like, I guess around like 13, I started playing drums. Then like
awesome.
A couple years in, my teacher quit. So I quit.
He doesn't even want to do it.
He just left the job. Oh, so okay. I was like, instead of like finding a new teacher or having to deal with a new teacher, I just was like, no, I'm not going to have any of it. And then I'm realizing now that I've done that with a couple of things in my life where like the person teaching me is gone. So I'm like, you know what? Peace. I'm out.
No one's going to hold me accountable to this.
Yeah. Great. So yes. And then, in high school they offered like a guitar class as an elective.
Okay.
So I started doing that. And then, so I would like, I learned guitar and I started playing like very acoustic, folky, type stuff.
Yeah.
Tried to sing along with it.
Yeah.
It's like very, very like City and Color-esque type things, you know, but like a really sappy 16-year-old kid. So it's like,
I love that.
Yeah. But then, yeah. And then my like the aspiration at graduating and going to university was like, oh, okay, I'm going to go move to Montreal and then I'll do open mics and I'll try all that shit. And then it just never really panned out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I found comedy a couple of years later. So, wow. And then that one, that just made a lot more sense. Yeah. I don't know why. It's kind of like the pieces kind of fell together. But
felt more natural.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Because I one part of me that was had a problem with music is like I could never take myself seriously. Oh. So if I ever wrote lyrics or like anything like that, I'd be like, this is terrible. Like,
oh man.
I would never think, you know, I would be like, oh, this is a joke. You know what I mean? Yeah, but now like writing jokes is like, well, I'm not meant to be taken seriously. So that's, perfect.
Like, that's interesting. Yeah. You have to have like kind of like a weird blind, almost narcissism about yourself to take yourself seriously as a lyricist.
Right?
That's so true.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to be like, this is shit.
This is awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do feel like that though about my music.
Yeah. I feel, yeah, no, but like, that's good though. You need that, you know, like, I'm not, like, I don't have that in me kind of, you know, like that's blind. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I do have that in me with comedy, I guess. Yeah. Like I've had those awkward conversations where especially during COVID, my girlfriend's like, so what are you going to do? I'm like, I know what I'm going to do. Comedy. Stop questioning me about it. Yeah. Like, you know, I know already. And she's like, yeah, but like, it's going to be a while. I'm like, I know.
Yeah, but that's what's cool about what you guys do is that you can like in the meantime work on other elements of writing, right?
Yeah, In a sense, yeah. I find that like I had a tough time writing just because I feel like I wasn't using my comedy muscle because I wasn't doing any open mics and stuff. So it's just kind of like the feeling of like just being able to like come up with something kind of went away.
Like just premises.
Yeah, premises and like, yeah, mostly premises and like punchlines were impossible because you can't test anything. So it's like, okay, I don't know what works. Like even if I do write a punchline, it's like, I don't know if
you
that one works.
No idea if it's going to work.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but I guess with your podcast, it's with your close friends and you guys must riff all the time.
Yeah. So
at least you're flexing it that way.
That's the only way. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Me and Brett have been talking about it because like for some reason, Sean just keeps getting shows. And he's great. I mean, don't get me wrong, but I'm just like through the pandemic, he was also able to get shows, which is like, I'm stoked for him. But me and Brett kind of had trouble doing it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And plus me and Brett were a little bit more paranoid about COVID, I think. And
Sean?
Yeah, than Sean a little bit. And yeah, it's just like me and Brett were talking about how like, oh yeah, this is like the only thing we have right now, like as our podcast. And
yeah.
Like, okay, cool. Thank God we have that.
Well, if COVID comes at Sean, he'll just spin kick it.
Exactly. Yeah. With his katana.
His katana.
Strapped in. Yeah, dude.
Nunchucks he probably knows how to use.
Dude, he definitely knows how to use.
That guy is like, for the amount of church's chicken that guy eats, he should have all the COVID. I hear that they serve that as a, like a appetizer there.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. COVID. Really? Strips. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I love it.
It's funny, the other day Ola came over because he comes over like once a week to watch horror or stand-up specials because he's only seen like 3 stand-up specials.
Yeah.
So he's been coming over and then just unannounced Sean came over. I was like, oh, okay.
Sweet.
And then we watched From Dusk Till Dawn and he'd never heard of it.
Yeah.
He's very sheltered. I don't know if you know that movie. Have you seen that movie?
I don't think so.
Sounds familiar. I actually haven't. Yeah, From Dusk Till Dawn.
It's a Quentin Tarantino movie where it's a heist movie and then halfway through they go to a bar and just everyone turns into vampires. And so the rest of the movie is just a horror movie.
Yes.
And I love that about it. Yes. It makes no sense. But me and Sean were like, sit here, Ola, watch this movie. And we just watched him watch it.
Yeah. Oh
my and he God. Talks all the way through movies anyway.
Of course,
so it's perfect.
Yeah. So many questions.
And then when everyone started turning into vampires, he was like, what? Like it was so like genuine, just like, what?
Just so confused.
What?
That's so funny.
He looked at me and Sean for help, and Sean's like, I don't know. You know, Sean talks.
I want to get him in the room and watch more Tarantino movies.
Oh yeah,
because guaranteed he hasn't seen them all.
Yeah. I know.
Oh,
and I'm not insulting him by the way, because he knows this about himself. You know?
Yeah, totally.
Oh,
yeah.
Totally.
Oh man, my girlfriend's kind of the same. She had never seen Pulp Fiction, so like 2 days ago we watched Pulp Fiction for the first time.
Oh no.
She thought it was great, but the first comment she made, she's like, yeah, it's really good, but like, how did someone come up with this?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, you know what? It is a pretty fucked up movie. It's pretty insane. Well, like crazy shit happens.
The genesis of it was that him, Tarantino and Roger Avery, they were like writing partners and they both worked at a place called Video Archives, which is a video rental place.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And they wanted to do an old fashioned kind of anthology movie where it's 3 different movies, but they're like, what if the 3 different movies were all intertwined with each other? Mm-hmm. So that was a concept. So the original name was Black Mask.
Oh, cool.
Movie.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Kind of like that because of the GIMP.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. I think like Black Mask was the name of a film noir, like crime novel.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, good point.
Yeah, that's that. Okay, that makes sense.
What do you think the GIMP's doing now?
Yeah, he got knocked out once and he's just hanging there. So
yeah, he's probably still hanging there.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Poor guy.
No, Marcellus probably just did some shit.
Think so?
Yeah.
I like made a reference the other day because I do a lot of photography and you know those like big reflective discs that people use, and there's the golden side of it.
Oh yeah. Suitcase.
I was like, yeah, I was I was flashing it. I'm like, oh, this is like in Tarantino in Tarantino movies in that whole universe. And everyone that was at the shoot just looked at me and they were like, what? Like,
were you with young 13? People? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I'm in the wrong room.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, that's
like everyone knows Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is the best movie.
That's kind of how I felt. My girlfriend was like, oh yeah, like throughout the movie she's like, oh, that's where the costume comes down from, like the Uma Thurman costume. Oh, like yeah. That's where it's from. Like, oh, that makes sense.
That's where those bangs came from. Mm-hmm,
exactly. Oh. And the next day she did it. Fucking Jesus fucking cut
her
hair.
I have a tattoo of that here.
Really?
Yeah.
That's sick.
That's wild.
I got no tattoos.
No tattoos?
No.
Zero.
Do you want them?
When I was younger I did and I just never committed to it. But now as I'm getting older, I'm like, I feel like I'm the only one without tattoos.
Did you want them during your City in Color phase?
Yes, very much so, yeah.
Tattoos and an acoustic guitar. All you need is a beard.
Yeah, exactly. And I can't do that. So that's also why I quit music.
I feel your pain, Corey. Yeah, God damn it.
Yeah, right? I feel like, as Asians, we don't.
Some shit here, mm-hmm. and then nothing. Come on.
It's bullshit.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
We look like if you pick the same character in a video game and they just change the colors on one of them, that's what we look like.
Yeah, we're like the same avatar and like creative like person, and then like just change the hair and then change the colors and we're good.
Pink shoes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's it. That's all we need. Well, I just realized that my hair is like fucking dyed too. I keep forgetting. This is the first time in my life that I dyed my hair, so I forget that I've got colored hair.
Yeah, I love how it looks. You. Welcome. It's welcome to the world of dyeing your hair. Now, I haven't seen my hair color since I was like 14. I'm serious. Also, I didn't think I was going to be a tattoo guy until I became friends with a tattoo artist who just suggests things all the time. Like, let's go do it.
I love
Very
it.
Impulsive. I love it. Yeah. I have nightmares. I don't have them.
Oh, my friends are the kings of impulsive tattoos. They,
really?
They do like stick and pokes to each other whenever they're just hammered. And it's gross in terms of like sanitary reasons. Yeah. But at the same time, I'm also drunk. So it's hilarious watching it.
Yeah. It's and, like your own personal jackass episode. And
all of it has been really loving. Like all the tattoos are either like each other's names or initials. Like,
oh, that's cute.
My friend on his foot, he wants like a sock of tattoos, you know what I mean? Like instead of exactly.
Painful.
So he started with instead of ACDC, JCDC for my like my two friends, Jake and Daniel.
Oh, that's cute.
And then for me, he just put down under the JCDC because I was insulted that I wasn't included. I made him put poo poo pee pee on his foot. So he's got poo poo pee pee tattooed on his foot. Yeah,
I love that.
Shout out to Liam Peake. Yeah, and there you go, bud.
You have the best handle this side of Dave Harris.
Yeah, definitely.
Credit Ryan Williams for that one. He actually
For
the poo poo pee pee.
Really?
Yeah,
how did that happen?
We were just hanging out one time and he's just like, hey, Corey, I got a roast joke for you. Can I tell you? I was like, sure. He's like, Corey Lupovici, more like Corey poo poo pee pee. And everyone died laughing just like you. And immediately I was like, oh, I'm leaning into it. I have to use that for something. Like,
you must.
Yeah.
He's on the podcast after you, actually.
Oh, wow. What a coincidence.
I'll ask him about it.
Yeah, you definitely ask him about it. That's hilarious.
Dave Harris, who's handle is dink so small. The way that happened was his friends were like, you don't have Instagram? He's like, no. And they're like, exactly. Well, we'll start the account for you. Yeah. And he just left it with that name. And then what's even funnier is he was on Ola's podcast and Ola was like, hey, what's your Instagram handle? And he's like, dink so small. Ola's like, what? All right, follow him at dick so small, which is so much more insulting somehow.
Oh, that's the most Ola thing ever. That's so great.
He doesn't hear you the first time in his own rendition of
so good.
Whatever it may be.
Think so small, so perfect, because it sounds like something, like I can hear his voice saying it. You know?
Think so small.
Yeah. Like just going up on stage, first joke is think so small. That's it. That's
I like
it.
How it takes him a good 10 minutes to get to a joke.
Yeah.
Because he'll comment on the scenery or...
Yeah. Oh, the mic stand's always a penis. It's good. Yeah. I love it. It's
someone's
the best,
already, like someone's doing something in the audience. It's like, oh, that's nice.
Exactly.
Nice. Look at that.
I remember when he went on Yumi Nagashima's YouTube show, Japanese Goddess Room.
Oh, it's
oh my God.
Her, him, and there's like a tree in the middle and he sits down. She's like, Dave Harris. And he's like, nice bush. Just kidding. Sorry. I love you. It's the trifecta. Just kidding. I'm sorry. I love you.
Oh, yeah. My God.
That's the name of this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ode to Dave Harris.
Oh, I love that.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
He's still alive. No, I just saw him yesterday. He's alive still.
Yeah.
Corey, what happened the first time you ever got drunk?
Oh, man. I was 12.
Ooh.
And I don't remember the planning of it at all. I just remember waking up one day and just being like, all right, me, Andrew, and Charlie, we're going to the forest. Charlie's going to have alcohol.
He always does.
Yeah. And no, like he's like, Charlie's going to get the alcohol. Cause I remember for some reason being like, oh, he's getting the alcohol. And then we showed up to the forest. He had a 2-stick of Jack Daniels and we're like, all right, what do you have to Jack Daniels? Coke. Jack and Coke, right?
Hell yeah.
So we went to the Save-On and bought like glass bottle Cokes and then like...
Classy.
Yeah.
Aww.
Right? As little 12 years old. Yeah. And then mix them together.
In your mouth?
It. Yeah. Oh, no, well, like we drank a little bit and then like put it in.
Okay.
But like we obviously, like we didn't know any ratios or anything. So we ended up like we'd drink half, fill half.
Oh.
And just like, I'm pretty sure we finished it between the three of us.
Oh, holy fuck.
And
oh my God.
I don't remember someone keeping it. But I was hammered. I remember immediately... And it's funny looking back on it because it's so classic, like movie drunk,
yeah.
But being like the girl I had a crush on and just being like, dude, I fucking love her, man. I love her.
I want a
dude. Like
that
kind of thing. And I remember like texting my friend being like, yo, you gotta tell her, man. I really like her, dude. Tell Lindsay I love her, man. It's like, oh, dude. Like,
oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that. And then, I think I just stayed out the whole day. And then by the time I came home, I was like tired, but it was fine. But
oh,
like,
okay.
Yeah.
So you'd sobered up.
Yeah, because we did it pretty early in the day, not knowing like any frame of reference for when you're supposed to drink. Just kind of like wake up like 11 a.m. or something.
11 a.m. Yeah, let's do this. Let's go out to the forest. Maybe we'll find some pornography under a rock. Who
definitely,
knows?
Definitely did. There was I've had people ask me about that. Be like, yo, are you like in the days of childhood where like you found porn in the forest? Because I've never seen that before. I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what happened to my childhood.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember one time I was like, I went under like a bridge near my house.
Oh, that's a great porn location.
Yeah.
And they're actually filming porn there.
Yeah.
There were like all these like little pieces of paper.
Right.
And I remember when my friends picked it up and they were stuck together and I was like, oh no.
What happens? Why is there always porn? Like is someone driving and jaying off? I'm like, oh, I don't want to look at this anymore. Disgusting.
I think they set up camp like under the bridge.
And jerk off there?
Yeah, I guess so, right?
I guess people with no bedrooms have to jerk off too.
Yeah. For me, I was at a forest. It was in a forest, like right by an elementary school. So I don't think a homeless person lived there. I think it was just like passed down by generations of like other 13-year-olds who had found maybe one. And then like 4 years down the line, I found a page of that one.
It was from 1986.
Like, nice. So much bush.
Also, yeah. Also, I love how the assumption is it's homeless people's porch. What else do you got to do but jay off in the forest?
Honestly, I've seen it. So
yeah. I also like picturing someone who has a home being so ashamed that they go to the forest to jerk off.
All right, honey, I'm going for my nightly walk.
Just going for a stroll. My every night at 8 p.m. You know how it is. That is terrifying.
Going to the forest for your secret shames.
It must happen. I always picture like a businessman wearing a suit,
putting down
a Wall Street man. Yeah.
His briefcase is just inside of just like stuff he can sit on to jerk off in the forest.
The briefcase itself is just stuffed like so, so full with porn that there's like porn like sticking out like a cartoon briefcase. Ooh,
see, that's risky. What if his wife goes through his briefcase?
Yeah, that's true.
Got to handcuff it to his wrist.
Yeah. People are so lazy with their porn intake now. You can just, you know what I mean? People used to really work for it.
Mm-hmm.
Really hide it in the forest. Yeah.
Dude, I remember having to like, ask around, be like, yo, does anybody's brother have an account on this website? Because this website's the shit.
Yeah.
Like, and then,
yeah. Who's got a Brazzers account?
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Facebook.com.
Yeah.
Status update. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was in elementary school, I had never seen porn and I heard there was some in the field.
Oh, shit, yeah.
And I went and I was playing basketball by myself and these girls told me that it was there. And I was like, I don't care. Whatever. Whatever, man. I don't need that. Yeah. I'm in fifth grade. I don't need that.
Right.
And then they left and then I was like, and then I went walking over there and they biked around the corner just trying to like, what are you doing, Kevin? Going to look at the porn? I'm like, no, I'm going to the other hoop.
Oh, they got your ass, dude.
Go to the other hoop.
It was a setup.
So humiliating. You don't want anyone to know you're interested in it when you're in fifth grade.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I remember my sister's, like, because she's 2 years older than me, I remember their friends being like, Corey, you like girls? Yeah, I'd be like, no.
Come on, man. I'm going to be the next Dallas Green.
Dude, I fucking skateboard, dude.
Yeah. I was like that, too. It's so humiliating. Mm-hmm. And they shame you so much for, like...
So much.
You know, it's so sad. The way I learned how sexual intercourse works is from watching Hellraiser 3.
Oh, I don't think I've ever seen that.
It goes right in there like that? Wow. Oh, my God. I didn't know that. My parents never had to talk with me.
Oh, that's so funny.
As far as they're concerned, I'm still a virgin, which I might as well be.
I feel like I learned about sex in school pretty early. Like, what grade did... I remember my first class was maybe grade 5.
This is the problem with having ADHD. I don't even think I listened.
Yep.
I definitely didn't.
You're just like, that diagram is of boobs. It's boobs. Little boobs, boobs.
No, it just looked like a... you know what I mean? Like a fish. It was like an X-ray version of things. This is what people jay off to in the forest. I don't think so.
I remember we had like sex ed in school in like the fifth grade, but I remember like in the third grade, we had like a whole like section of class dedicated to like inappropriate touching. So that was really confusing.
Whoa, like how to do it?
Well, right? I was like, what is this?
Alexi, your technique is way off.
The PE teacher has a second function.
It's not held in school.
All right.
It's held in the forest.
Oh, God.
After school.
Oh, God.
What am I talking about? Yeah. Bill Clinton's there. Fuck.
But he's really thin.
Oh, man. So inappropriate. That's crazy. I don't think I had that. That's cool.
It was, and I didn't understand why.
Yeah.
Like, they do it? Why would they risk that all? Or like they're risking it all for nothing. I don't understand what sex is.
Yeah.
I still don't get it. Hope to learn about it someday. Corey, what was your worst job you ever had?
Oh, geez. I was part of a pyramid scheme pretty much once.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
MLM.
What was it? Yeah. How much did you lose?
I didn't lose anything. It didn't ask for my own money. So that's why it was like...
it was someone's credit card you stole to do it.
It wasn't like that much of a Ponzi scheme in that sense. But it was one of those things where like they hired you and they were like, all right, become your own manager in like 6 months or something like that and make like this much more. And then I was like, all right, that sounds good to me. And then I got hired and I was a brand ambassador at first. So pretty much what it was you... are like a living telecommercial at a store and you like demonstrate a product and try to sell it.
Oh, like you're the doorway when people are walking by.
Exactly. Yeah. So my
you have
product
some dish
was
detergent or something.
Exactly. Mine actually really, really close. Mine was called the Amazing Whip It. It was an all natural, all purpose cleaner. And I had to like demonstrate it on all these like different surfaces and shit. And so the point was like you sell, if you're a good salesman, then you get to train people. And then if the more people you train and the more they sell, the more you make and the more people you train and recruit. And then as you recruit more and train more, you just go up more and up more to the point where you can like open your own office. And I'm looking at these like 25-year-old like managers who are like just so deep into the system of recruiting people and selling shit.
Were they making money?
Yeah, they were making money, like enough to like have a nice suit and stuff. But like...
I still live in the forest.
Like, I think the thing that like really threw me off, other than how grueling it was to be in a store trying to swindle like old ladies to buy this cleaner, was like we would have these meetings every day in the morning, every workday, and like they would just recap like a sales technique using like a skit, and then there would be like this weird, almost like secret language of like certain like responses and like actions you do to like signify that you understand, or that like, oh, okay, we're a team, like that kind of thing. It was so weird. It was like, oh, like, does everybody get it? And then they would kick the ground or something like that. And I was like, and then everybody would kick the ground being like, oh, I get it. And that kind of thing. I was like, okay, this is fucking weird. Like, what the hell?
It's a cult.
And having people be really, truly passionate about like selling bullshit, just being like, oh man, I'm so stoked for you. You're so good at this. I'm like, yo, what? Like,
what?
You're insane. This is weird.
That's always tough. Like the different day jobs that I had.
Mm-hmm. So many day jobs.
Where
so many.
You are expected to be as excited as the person who owns the business.
Yeah.
It's like impossible.
Every single retail store that I've worked at, which is like so many, they all expect you to like care about the company. And it's like, dude, are you, I'm like 16 years old. Why would I care about the company? Like,
what made you quit?
Yeah. just like having, just like realizing what it was and how long. I mean, no, just realizing what it was and just being like, oh, this is complete bullshit. I'm making no money. And like, this is not my time, not worth my time at all. And it's like a fucking Ponzi scheme. So
that'd
like,
be funny if they were like, okay, so you and four people start here, right? Yeah. And then better you get, then there's three people and then two. And then soon you're at the top. And then you're like, is this a pyramid scheme? And they're like, no, it's not a pyramid scheme. What are you talking about? Exactly.
It may look like a triangle, but it's not a pyramid scheme. I remember the day I quit though, it was the first job I ever like quit. Like in person to his face at the end of the day. And I was like, I'm not coming back for another shift. This is it. And the most nonchalant response would be like, oh yeah, it's all good, man. See you later. Yeah. Like as if he'd been through that so many times. And I was like, yeah, dude, of course, like this job is insane. Yeah.
Have you been to Ramen Butcher?
My favorite one.
My
dude.
Favorite one.
Dude, it's my favorite one. It's so good. And free extra noodles at the end.
Oh yeah.
Dude, it's the best.
And then just you just drink the broth by itself at the end, and then you get a stomach ache.
Yeah.
You know, like I had to break up my ramen meal from this fancy establishment into two meals. I had it for breakfast the next day.
I love that.
Like, it's like nice. It's just a lot of food.
The broth must have just been a sludge the next day.
It was fine.
I love it. I love it. I'm not saying it was a bad sludge.
A delicious sludge. Mm.
No, I love ramen. It's too good.
Yeah.
You ever worked in a restaurant?
I mean, the bar I work at, technically, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But this is my first one.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
I've never actually worked in the food industry. So
I've definitely worked in the food industry.
You've been a chef. You've been a chef all over the place.
Oh, all over the place, all over town.
Mm-hmm. I'm like just so ignorant to like what happens, except my girlfriend got me super into kitchen nightmares. Mm-hmm. Oh. And I just pretend that's totally fiction. So when we go to restaurants, I don't even think
about
it. Yeah,
it's not that, yeah.
It's not as fictional as
as long as you don't go to like Ricky's or something, I think you're good.
Oh, man.
That's what I imagine.
Bill Clinton probably goes there. He probably does love it. Oh, no, not anymore.
I love Gordon Ramsay. Oh, dude, I'm obsessed with Hell's Kitchen. I've watched like every season. It's so like my favorite good. Show. Yeah, it's so good.
I love Kitchen Nightmares because I like seeing him talk down to people for not taking their business seriously.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. And they deserve it, I guess.
Is yeah, totally.
Because in Hell's Kitchen, you feel kind of like, oh, he's being mean. And this is kind of like over the top. Yeah. But at the same time, like when he's like, it's fucking raw. I'm like, yeah, it is, dude. Yeah. Can't serve that shit up. What are you doing? Like
right? Every episode of Kitchen Nightmares, like clockwork, he'll be like, come with me into the freezer. And then he'll do this along the top of the freezer. Dust.
Right.
Open it.
Yeah.
20-year-old chickens. It's like,
yeah,
how
it's
have
so
you not
gross.
Thrown this out?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like so
true.
Crazy. It's like, this is your business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I just.
And they're in insane debt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the curtains have dust on them. I love it. I love seeing him talk down to people.
The chairs always have like stuff down like the side of, you know.
Yeah,
it's like,
disgusting. Sometimes though, he'll like revamp the decorations and I actually think it looks worse.
Really?
Sometimes.
Which.
Oh. Just that's amazing. Like, that's so funny.
He'll do
which episode?
Normally, he'll do a simple thing. Like he'll take a place that is probably called like Cracker Jack's, where it has like stuff all over the walls, and he'll just get rid of all that bullshit and it'll just look better. Mm. Sometimes he'll add weird, sort of like rustic elements to me that make it look like I don't know. Just like I trust the restaurant even less now.
Yeah,
I haven't seen a single like revamp that I didn't like.
Really,
I think I'm just biased. I just love Gordon Ramsay.
I love Gordon Ramsay also. I like when he did Hot Ones, and then he couldn't even handle it, and he was eating donuts between.
He was
bites.
Eating so much, man. Eating so much. I'm like, dude, right? Slow the fuck down. Like, he's people like, complain about milk and shit. You're like golfing donuts. Just fucking
yeah.
Like. He's a pretty big guy, though.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I feel like he would probably eat a lot.
Great head of hair too.
Oh yeah. It's fantastic. Yeah. All around.
It's gone through so many phases, but it's always so just on point.
Yeah. The next one's like a Donald Trump. Like,
oh no.
Oh no.
Look who I'm going after again.
Oh shit.
Look who I'm going
dude,
after
again.
Dude,
always getting political, eh?
You're next.
Just around the election, you just can't help it. Just
I just pick on Al Gore next for no reason. Thanks for making the internet, idiot.
What jobs did you work?
I had, I worked at two record stores growing up.
Oh, that's so appropriate.
Which was good, but it made me such a pretentious asshole.
Yeah.
And now I hate when people are pretentious about music, ironically. And I think it's because I make pop music. And so when people are like, would like slam, you know, whatever pop music. Pop music's the hardest music to make. Anyone can make something unlistenable, but making the catchiest thing that everyone can't get out of their head, that's way tougher than, you know, anything else. But I will say the pinnacle, and I think I've said this on this podcast before, the pinnacle of my pretentiousness was I was talking to my friend about this band Bloc Party.
Love Bloc Party.
Me too. And I was like, Silent Alarm is the album of the year.
I fucking love that album.
So good. Talking to him. And this woman comes up and she's like, do you have Evanescence? And I was like, oh, great. You mixed up two shitty artists. I just handed her the Evanescence album. I was like, anyway. Well, by the way, I love Eminem. I don't know why I said that.
Man, I loved, Evanescence.
Evanescence is what she said.
Dude, that's so funny. I thought you made a mistake. I was like, no, I love Evanescence.
No, she said it.
Yeah, that's so funny. While you were telling that, I was like, oh, I love that. Am I pretentious? And then you were like Evanescence. I'm like, no, I love them too. I'm not pretentious at all. It's fine. I'm all good.
Now I'm not pretentious. And now I actually find it really irritating if somebody says a band sucks that's successful. Because they don't suck. Yeah. You don't like them, but you can't say they suck.
I try to just say I don't like them, which is pretty often. But,
I'm like that with comedians too.
It's me too. I'm the same. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's everyone has value. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like if this person is selling out these kind of shows and the people go see them, they have value. You may not like it, but it doesn't mean it's not like, you know, quality or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think people with pop too, they kind of forget that like it means popular. And I think they see that just on the surface.
Yeah.
But popular is so much like, it's like really like, again, like what you said, it's like not easy. Like things being popular are like, oh shit, this is like a lot of people. This is hard.
There needs to be so many elements for an artist to become successful. Mm-hmm. And being a musician is just one of those things. So when people are like, Justin Bieber's not talented, it's like, well, I disagree.
Yeah.
See, that's the, I remember when I was in high school, I hated Justin Bieber.
Fair enough.
But I still don't like him, but my argument has been more like much more refined. Like it went from me being like, dude, he sucks. That's it. You know? But now it's like, okay, no, he's talented as hell. I don't like what he does with his talent.
Fair enough.
That kind of thing.
But talent's only one part of it too. I think there's like musicianship, talent. I think vision is more important than all those
things.
That's
huge.
Mm-hmm. It's like Katy Perry was like a Christian rock act.
Yeah.
And everyone was just like, oh, it's the yellow card guy or the Reliant K guy's girlfriend or whatever.
Oh, shit.
And then she did her first album in Vancouver at...
I didn't know.
Really?
At what's that place called? Greenhouse. Mm-hmm. And it was like Christian pop.
Oh, it was.
Yeah. And then she like changed the whole thing up and became like a pop artist that could do Warped Tour, which was pretty uncommon at the time. Is really smart.
Like you could maybe say that she kissed the girl.
You could maybe say that.
And she liked it.
I've heard that a friend of mine opened on tour for her and was like, Kevy, you think you and me have a lot of energy? Katy Perry has like five engines in her. Like it's just nonstop crazy. Yeah.
Well, I love that.
Wouldn't be surprised. Well, what jobs did you work a lot? You said food industry a lot?
Yeah. I did like a lot of like random things. I mean, I cooked first. I served first and then they like just brought me into the kitchen. And then just like, I like attached myself to like this chef that I was working with and he like brought me around to a bunch of restaurants and like then sent me off to like be a chef at like a different restaurant on Commercial Drive. And that was really cool. And I didn't know what I was doing. And it was really scary. And then I went to school for like music, and like got a job engineering and like producing music. But then I also like went to school like at the same time to be a yoga teacher. So then I like did a little bit of like
she
yoga
knows how to
teaching
do everything,
and like,
basically.
Like that's crazy. Lots of freelance stuff, but the worst of it was like my early days of cooking because I was working with a bunch of mean old ladies and it was at a country club and I remember like they were making me like just wash dishes and I'm like in the back like washing these dishes and I'm like someday I'm gonna be a member of this country club and I'm like I'm not gonna do that with my money but that was brutal.
That'd be funny if Joey Camiso was working on the grass at that place.
That's what I was trying to figure out when he was talking about working at different like clubs. I'm like, did we work at the same club?
He came on here and told a story about how his favorite actor growing up was, who was it again? Michael Douglas.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, I love Michael Douglas. And Michael Douglas came in and was so rude to him. And he's like, oh man. and didn't like him. And then he had to caddy for him. And Michael Douglas was like, is there anyone else who can do this? This guy's,
no way.
This
That's
guy's
so
making
funny.
Me uncomfortable.
Joey Mizzou would be like,
you know, he just beat himself up.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
He's too much of a sweetheart.
Not good enough?
Not good enough. He just put it into his monologue. He did theater that night.
Oh, that's so funny.
What was the best concert you've ever been to?
Oh, man. 2010 Odd Future.
Oh. I was at that.
You were at that?
Yeah.
Dude, that was so much fun.
At the Vogue?
Yeah. Was it at the Vogue?
I think so. It was at the theater, right?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. But it was like one of the few times it was all them together except for Earl. It was still when it was like, oh, free Earl. Like
Tyler had a cast, I think. Didn't he? Or had he just gotten it removed? I remember he'd broken his leg at some point, but he skateboarded out. He skateboarded out.
Yeah, I don't think, maybe arm, because it wasn't leg injury. I remember him being able to dance around, no problem. But it was just like, it was a crazy good concert. They were like a really good act. And then I was able to like get to the front.
Yeah.
And it was so rowdy. The next day I woke up with like bruises on my stomach from the bar, being pushed on the bar.
I was always doing that too.
Yeah, right. And then it just got to a point in the concert where, I mean, I was in the front row. So at one point, like Damo was sitting there rapping and I like dapped him, which was dope.
Nice.
And then a little later on to the concert, I saw a dude try to like go over the fence and like get on stage and like all security guard like gathered around him. And I was like, okay, go. So I went, I got up on stage and then like I shook like Mike G's hand, shook Left Brain's hand and Left Brain come up to me and was like, yo, like stage dive. And I was like, okay.
Wow.
Cool. Yeah, sweet. And then stage dive. And I was like super sick. And then at one point too, cause like that night, it was like a Wednesday night or something. So it was a school night and I came straight from school to the concert and I went to a Jewish school at the time. So I had a kippah, like one of those like small hats. Mm-hmm. And it was in my back pocket. And during the concert, before the stage diving thing happened, I like felt it in my pocket. And I was like, oh shit. Okay. Like I'm going to throw it on stage because people were throwing crazy shit on stage. And like someone threw like a stuffed like cat or something like that.
Yeah.
And, and then he like picked up my like kippah and like put it on his head. He's like, hey, yo, I'm Jewish. And we're like, what? This is crazy. Yeah.
Right.
And then like he took it off afterwards and put it on the cat. He's like, hey, yo, it's Jew cat. And it's like, some shit like that. Yeah. And something like that. It was crazy. Yeah.
I loved that. When they came out, like when Yonkers came out, it was the most excited I was for new artists.
Yeah.
Maybe ever. And then I got obsessed with specifically him, like Bastard. Yeah. I loved
Bastard was so good.
Yeah. I still think it's my favorite one. Mm-hmm. And then Goblin came out and then, it was funny. They opened a store in LA and I went,
oh yeah. Oh. Yeah. How
and
was
I
that?
I was walking in and he skateboarded out and we both bailed. He skateboarded into me. Yeah. It was crazy.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Starstruck. And then
he's like a tall, big dude too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then, he was like, oh fuck. And he fucked my shin up, by the way, with a skateboard.
Shit.
It was fine.
No.
I forgive him. I love him. But then it was funny. My band opened for Tyler.
No way.
At Riot Fest in Toronto.
What?
And it was here. This is crazy. This is the lineup that day. Cause it's 2 days.
Yeah.
We played like probably like 4 PM.
Mm-hmm.
And then, after us, he went on kind of early. He went on like right after us and he kept apologizing for his set. He kept being like, I'm sorry. I'll come back and make it up to you. This is, I'm not into this. Like he just kept being I don't know. I don't know.
That's
what's
crazy.
Going.
Yeah.
And so, but I still loved it, but it was like a punk crowd kind of, they were still into it and stuff. Mm-hmm. But so then he went on, then Wu-Tang went on.
Whoa.
The worst thing. Cause no one, you know, from Wu-Tang was on stage.
Of course. Yeah.
No
yeah.
Method Man, no yeah. RZA, like no, but it was like Mass Tequila and then
you
like
God
eight
or some
dudes.
Shit. Yeah.
Not
oh,
even you
no.
God.
Not even you God.
Yeah,
oh
I was,
my God.
I was like, you can't even really call this
oh, no.
Wu-Tang.
Yeah.
And then Weezer went on,
what?
Did Pinkerton in its entirety. And then The Prodigy went on and The Prodigy put on the best show I've ever seen.
Shit.
Really?
Yeah. And I didn't think it was going to be good because it's like electronic music. Mm-hmm. I love them, but I didn't think it was going to be very good. And it was like amazing.
Yeah. Sick.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah. Shit. That was really fun. Mm. Festivals are the funnest thing to play
because
you do your thing and then you just hang out for the next 2 days watching stuff.
And do like the artists hang out in like a communal space? Like what is it like? Or so, like I guess there's trailers and buses or whatever.
There's trailers and buses, but some of them will just like that one was cool because there was like a common area and there is just masseuses.
What?
And then there is just a free bar.
Oh my God.
Yeah, like Pemberton was like that too. And then it was like, oh, Skrillex is DJing backstage just for fun. Like stuff like that happens. And
I
like,
so sick.
I miss Pemberton. I met Jasper at Pemberton.
Oh shit, nice.
I didn't realize it was him because he had like lost a lot of weight. Mm-hmm, and he was talking to my friend. I actually went up to go talk to my friend and he was talking to her. And I was taking a little like weed break. I wasn't smoking any weed. And I was like kind of like a hard no. And I was there for the weekend. So I was like, no to everyone. And I was talking to my friend. I'm like, hey, what's up? And he's like, we're going to go smoke some weed. You want to come? And I was like, no. And then as I'm walking away back to my friends, I'm like, no. Fuck, that was Jasper. I should have said yes.
Oh shit. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was obsessed with like Odd Future when it all came out. And then it's funny. I went to the carnival. Tyler puts on a carnival.
Oh, you went to one of those. Oh,
I went to the second one and Earl opened. And he did the same thing Tyler did where he's like, I don't like this. He was like, he kept being like, he'd do a song and be like, how much more time do I have to do? Like he was like really not enjoying himself.
Oh, no.
And then, it was a really like Schoolboy Q's Man of the Year album came out.
Oh shit. Yeah.
And so he was there doing that. And I love that album. Mm. And Mac Miller came out and they did like two songs together.
Yeah.
And then during Tyler's set, Kanye came out.
What?
And then Tyler was like, hey, do Black Skinhead. And he just sat on the ground and like made him do, he was just like yelling at him what to do. And then Kanye's like,
that's
okay.
Sick. That's so cool.
Oh my God. I love that.
Yeah.
Do you like in terms of like the actual on stage playing, do you like music festivals? Cause I always felt like, oh, you probably maybe prefer like a enclosed venue like that.
I'm a egomaniac that way. More people, the better.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Like my favorite is like arenas. Like it's just the funnest. It's like so surreal to be in a place where so many of your heroes have performed. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's just like, it's so fun. Mm-hmm. I love festivals and I love it too, because there's so many bands that you don't really like, you play for like 25 minutes and then and then that's it. It's like, such a small commitment and so fun.
Yeah.
So you can really go hard for that short amount of time instead of doing it like an hour.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah. You'd be so tired by the end of it. Yeah.
But it's funny. I went with, I watched Ivan Decker do Pemberton and he was like an outdoor stage and he'd never done one before. And he was like, I wonder how this is even going to work.
Yeah.
And he was like doing a joke. And right when it got to the punchline, a train went by. I was like, He's like, I've never been heckled by a train before.
Oh,
that's so funny.
I love this.
It's weird to think about, because I was definitely probably at that Pemberton Festival. And it's weird to think about that. I was just like, so fucked up. And like, Ivan Decker was there performing. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it was funny.
Just, oh God.
All right, Corey. Well, thank you for coming on. What's your podcast? Why don't you plug it?
Oh yeah. So I got a podcast with my fellow friends, Sean McDonald and Brett Skillen. It's called I Got Nothing. You can find us on all like podcast streaming apps and stuff. We've got an Instagram. It's at I Got Nothing. And my Instagram personally is Corey Poo Poo Pee Pee. So if you'd like to follow me there.
She was already laughing.
No, right? Dude, I've had to tell people that in person. It just feels... so silly. They're like, oh, you're a comedian. We'd like to see you. They're like, go, boop, boop, beep, beep.
Go ahead. Care of Ryan Williams.
Well, thanks a lot for having me, guys.
Of course.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for coming on.